Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday. Yes. Yes, it is. We have made it. Congratulations. Self-high fives all the way around. Because it is Friday, I am wearing red. I remind you about this each and every week. RED, Remember Everyone Deployed. Great program started a couple of years back by a couple of Marine moms who said, hey, let us have a visible reminder of young men, young women in most cases, who are serving away from home. So I got to tell you, it's one of those things I look forward to. I've got on a red Stanford University T-shirt. I paid full price plus. And then, just to be safe, I have a beautiful red bracelet, which I got from my pal Emily Morrissey at emilysbracelets.com. So I am totally covered. And because it is a Friday, I'm wearing my Peppa Pig hat because, well, nothing says Friday like a little dose of Peppa Pig. My sense last night for our vice president and her pal who wants to be vice president. Try again? Maybe? Is that where we might be? I don't know. We have a number of snippets, and here's the bizarre thing. The whole thing ran, what was it totally content-wise? Was it 20 minutes? I think it was about 20 minutes. It was sad, but it was really, really educational. Dana Bash did a good job of trying to provide cover for the vice president and her buddy who wants to be vice president. But even Dana Bash, I guess, had a limit. Asked questions. And look, none of them were exactly barn burner questions. And none of them really, really, really held them to account. But you know what? For who it is and what it is and where it was, wasn't terrible. I wish I'd give you a higher grade, but it really wasn't terrible. I know most of us gathered here this afternoon did not actually watch last night, and I'm willing to bet very few people came up to their computer this morning and said, oh, I got to see what she said. I got to, you know, it's like, all right, we got other things to do. So, in the interest of education and my civic duty, I'm going to share with you some of the stuff. Germ, get ready, get on over to your other computer because that's where we've had to store this stuff. I don't know exactly how all of our technical things go back at the Museum of Broadcast History, but apparently, if things are really, really terrible, like this is, we have to put them on a separate computer so that it don't accidentally, inadvertently leach into some of the good stuff on the good computer. Let's just start at the beginning. How about that? Day one, cut number one.
Way here in Georgia. You have less time to make your case to voters than any candidate in modern American history. The voters are really eager to hear what your plans are. If you are elected, what would you do on day one in the White House?
Well, there are a number of things. I will tell you, first and foremost, one of my highest priorities is to do what we can to support and strengthen the middle class. When I look at the aspirations, the goals, the ambitions of the American people, I think that people are ready for a new way forward in a way that generations of Americans have been fueled by hope and by optimism. I think, sadly, in the last decade, we have had in the former president someone who has really been pushing an agenda and an environment that is about diminishing the character and the strength of who we are as Americans, really dividing our nation. And I think people are ready to turn the page on that.
So what would you do day one?
Day one, it's going to be about, one, implementing my plan for what I call an opportunity economy. I've already laid out a number of proposals in that regard, which include what we're going to do to bring down the cost of everyday goods, what we're going to do to invest in America's small businesses, what we're going to do to invest in families, for example, extending the child tax credit to $6,000 for families for the first year of their child's life to help them buy a car seat, to help them buy baby clothes, a crib. There's the work that we're going to do that is about investing in the American family around affordable housing, a big issue in our country right now. So there are a number of things on day one.
What about you?
Is he still talking? Is it over? Is it over? Oh, God, make it stop. It was so pathetic, and Lord knows it was pathetic. It was so pathetic that even Dana Bash had to, pardon the phrase, circle back and ask the same damn question again. So, now that you have blubbered incoherently for the better part of a minute and 40 seconds, what are your plans for day one? child tax credit. You mean like President Trump proposed? Now, Dana didn't say that, but that's what I would have said had I, you know, somehow had the misfortune of sitting there playing that part. It was outrageous. It didn't get much better from there, by the way. Oh, I am going to subject you to it. Yes, yes, I am. We have culled some of the highlights, would be such a thoroughly inappropriate term, but we have a number of pieces of it. And if I could just sum up quickly, after Dana Bash said, so what are you going to do on day one? What the vice president said was Trump, 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 Trump. Trump, 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 Trump. Well, you know, we know the American people are ready to turn the page. Well, we are ready to turn the page. The problem is, ma'am, you keep operating in this really bizarre time travel world where Donald Trump is the president now. And he hasn't been for almost 4 years. And I should state for the record, your first day on the job was January the 20th. 2021. Now, I understand that Dana Bash sort of buttered you up at the beginning. Well, you're going to have the shortest period of time ever in the whole history of the entire country. Oh, my God. 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 And, well what are you going to do? And how are you going to do it? And what are you going to do the first day? I can't tell you what it took for me to sit and watch this and then watch and listen to it and take notes. You owe me. That's all I'm going to say. Seriously. I tell you all the time, I watch MSNBC so that you don't have to. And then people say, oh, thank you very much. We really appreciate it. And I say, hey, no worries. Don't worry. Well, this you got to worry about. You owe me bigly, as the guy would say. You know, the other guy, Trump, that guy, right. You owe me bigly for making me watch this. So I'm paying you back. You're going to have to listen to some of it. Now, we got a lot of great stuff going on besides this. I promise you, it is the final Friday of the month. What happens on the final Friday of each and every month? We bestow the Lieutenant Jan McTurnan Blue Friday honor on a very deserving Central Virginia law enforcement officer. And our honoree today is First Sergeant Mike Berry from the Virginia State Police. Talk about a thoroughly, thoroughly decent guy. And you've heard this phrase, I'm sure, a cop's cop. He is a diver, and that's really the understatement of the day. He is the chief of the Virginia State Police dive team. And he's got some fascinating stories. And boy, oh boy, when Superintendent Gary Settle sent me Sergeant Mike Berry's info and said this would be a really good Blue Friday, that was the understatement of that day, let me tell you. The reality is, First Sergeant Barry and I sat and chatted. It was like the better part of an hour, wasn't it, Jeremy? It was. It was like the better part of an hour. And Jeremy went in there. And no, you don't owe Jeremy anything because he got to listen to this a couple of times. It was very enjoyable. Unlike me and the vice president, you do owe me on that. But this was very enjoyable, about an hour. And he had to shorten it up for our segment here. But I will remind you that the entire thing posted over at newsradiowrva.com, newsradiowrva.com. So you'll listen to the first part of it at 3:33. You'll get a taste for it. And then if you want the real juicy bits, you'll head over to newsradiowrva.com. Again, First Sergeant Mike Barry, Virginia State Police, our Lieutenant Jan McTernan, Blue Friday honoree today. We'll air that discussion. Of course, it's pre-recorded, but we'll air that at 3:33. We've got Dr. Dave Bratt joining us at 4:03. And I know that Dave was probably paying attention to this CNN thing last night. I don't know that I can call it an interview. It was a TV show. Well, it was. It was a TV show. I don't think that there was much else to it other than it was a TV show. And I like TV shows. I watch TV shows for relaxation and enjoyment. I understand that people are going through rehearsals. They've memorized their lines. Now, the only reality show, if you will, unscripted, I think, is the technical term these days, is Big Brother. Heidi and I watch it every summer. It is like our guilty summer pleasure. And we each start out hating every single solitary member of the Big Brother household. And at the end, well, yeah, we probably still hate most of them, but we have come to a meeting of the minds. Somebody will win. But I do that for total enjoyment. There's very little brain matter that gets fired up for that, right? I look at television as a distraction. It's like a potato chip, right? It tastes good. It's not filling. It's not nutritious in the least, but it still tastes good, and you're going to get a second one. Well, that's how I look at television. And I got to tell you, I looked at this and thought, this is clearly something that there were some run-throughs. Now, maybe Dana Bash wasn't part of the run-throughs. Maybe she can still say, oh, no, I'm an objective journalist. I was over here. I didn't do that. But I'm telling you right now, the vice president and the wannabe vice president sat in a room, in a set, on a set that looked exactly like that, and ran their lines. And even with that, they were terrible. Just craziness. Absolute craziness. Now, I do believe we've got some tickets. I am going to wait for the official approval from the Radio Factory for that. Jeremy, you'll let me know what we have, and then we will let everybody know what we have. Obviously, long weekend coming up, right? Monday looks good, weather-wise. In fact, the whole Labor Day weekend is looking pretty good. It's going to be about 89, partly sunny, partly cloudy, not oppressively hot, not oppressively bright or blazing. So I think it's going to be a good weekend. All right. It is 3:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 3:22, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday. Yeah, we have made it. Congratulations. Self-high fives all the way around. It is the final Friday of the month as well. We will bestow our Lieutenant Jan McTernan Blue Friday honor at 3:33. First Sergeant Mike Barry from the Virginia State Police is our honoree for the month of August. I will tell you that I am working on a very special honoree for the month of September. And this is going to be one that, how do I say this? As someone who has helped launch the law enforcement careers of a whole slew of people in Central Virginia. I'm going to just let that sit out there for a little bit. Let that percolate a little bit, because you're going to be racking your heads and your brain. Oh, I don't know. I think I know somebody. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah. But today, First Sergeant Mike Barry from the Virginia State Police. The reviews are in for the vice president's performance last night, and, well, they're not kind. The New York Times, who you would just think would be all on board, you know, clapping and cheering, oh, hey, that was great, hey, fantastic, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. The New York Times described it as vague and vacuous. That's like the name of a really bad law firm, but vague and vacuous. That's from the New York Times. ABC News ran a story about the vice president inflating her prosecutorial record. In other words, it's a technical term. She lied. She lied about who she prosecuted and how she prosecuted him and how tough she was. New York Post reminded everybody that Kamala Harris once compared policing, where good and decent men and women go out, willing to sacrifice their own lives if necessary to protect innocent people. Kamala Harris compared that distinguished, honorable profession to lynching and Jim Crow. Daily Mail, quote, train wreck for Harris. Kamala is ripped to shreds for word salad, CNN softball interview as an ex-Barack Obama strategist gives his brutal verdict ahead of the Trump debate showdown. Wow. All right, well, Forbes, no, come on. We know what Forbes is going to say. We know what the Washington Free Beacon is going to say. NBC News chose to report on a police association, that's the National Association of Police Organizations, actually, NAPO, about Kamala Harris's anti-policing comments in the past. All right, some more stuff from Newsmax and Fox and New York Post. All right, we know which way those are going to go. So that's not even worth examining right now. We'll examine it later, but when you are getting the bad reviews from your friends in the left-wing media, I just got to tell you, it's not going well. Now, far be it for me to step in the middle of this and say, here's how you ought to handle this, because I do not think that you can possibly look at this and say, everything is fine. Here's what I'm beginning to think. I am beginning to believe that it really is what we were told in the past. That this is not about the presidency. This is about the House and Senate, and they know she's going to lose. We'll find out, right? All right, coming up at 3:33, we bestow the Lieutenant Jan McTurnan Blue Friday honor on Virginia State Police First Sergeant Mike Berry. 3:26, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Jeff Katz.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
News Radio WRVA. As you know, on the final Friday of each and every month, we bestow our Lieutenant Jan McTurnan Blue Friday honor on a very deserving Central Virginia law enforcement officer. Could be a police officer, deputy sheriff, state police officer, state trooper, federal agent. We've had representatives from every single agency that you can imagine. And I've got to tell you, for the month of August, we have somebody very, very special. First Sergeant Mike Berry is with the Virginia State Police, has spent, I think I read this right, 40 years with the Virginia State Police, and he is our honoree this month. Sergeant, thank you for being here.
Well, thank you very much.
Let's talk a little bit about what you have done throughout those 40 years, and what was it that prompted you to reach out and become a member of the Virginia State Police in the first place?
Well, you know, I'm 44 years, so
wow.
43 years with the department.
Okay.
You know, and I'm still going strong. And, you know, back in my day, you kind of grew up, you know, wanting to be someone as a kid, you know. And I grew up wanting to be a police officer. And there was another thing I always wanted to do, and that was to be a scuba diver. And
okay.
So I grew up watching, you know, Sea Hunt show, the
Lloyd
black and
Bridges?
White. Yeah,
oh,
you know it.
I love that show.
I couldn't wait for that show to start. And it was always an adventure underwater and a fight, and someone was cutting someone's air hose. And so two things I knew when I was growing up, you know, police officer, scuba diver. I never knew, you know, how it was going to work out, but those were my focuses. And so when I graduated out of high school, you know, I looked into being a police officer, but you couldn't be one. You had to be 21 to carry a gun.
Okay.
And so I had these 3 years to fill, and I was an Army brat. My dad was a career military, so right out of high school, I joined the military, became a paratrooper stationed down at Fort Bragg. And I considered making that a career, but, you know, again, you know, I wanted to be a police officer scuba diver. And so I didn't know you could put the two together. I just kind of thought scuba was going to be this recreational sport I did and police officer. So back then you had a 3-year tour. So after I served for my 3 years, I was 21 and I got out with the goal of becoming a police officer. So I moved back in with my parents who lived up in Alexandria, and I just started applying for every police department around there. And one of them happened to be the state police. And then, you know, what you did then is sort of what you do now is you go somewhere, you take a test, you take a physical test, and then you wait.
Yeah.
And so all these departments that I applied with, I would get these letters. And it was sort of like a Dear John letter. It was, you know, we regret to inform you. And it starts out, you know, right in your face.
Yeah.
We regret to inform you. So I was starting to, you know, wonder what I'm going to do with my life. And, you know, I looked at the want ads, you know, what kind of, I mean, I started thinking, oh, my goodness. And then I started thinking about maybe I have to go back in the military, which I didn't mind doing. But about a year had gone by, and I'm still taking tests, still getting rejection letter, and I got a letter from the state police. And, you know, I just thought, you know, this state police, come on, you know, these podunk little counties wouldn't hire me. The state police isn't going to hire me. But I'll be darned when I opened the letter, it said, you know, congratulations.
Yeah.
And I could not believe it. And so I came down to Richmond and met them and officially told them I wanted the job. And the way they did it back then is you reported for 1 week. And in that 1 week, they taught you some police stuff, but mainly it was all focused on qualifying with a handgun. And I had never qualified with a handgun before. And if you didn't qualify by Friday, you were gone. They let you go. And so I struggled, but by Friday I had qualified twice. And then what they did was they would dress you up like a trooper. So you look like a trooper. The only thing different, you didn't have a metal name tag. And then they would send you out in the state somewhere to ride with a real trooper until the next academy started. And then you would come back and take the academy. And so their idea was you'd get a little experience on the road and maybe see a DUI arrest or, you know, something like that. So I happened to go to – they assigned me to Fredericksburg. And I rode with an old trooper, and back then you had all these big monster troopers, and a lot of them were Vietnam vets. And this guy was a Marine, you know, right out of Vietnam. And and I'm riding with him, you know, one day he just said, "You know, Mike, do you scuba dive?" And I went, "Well, yes, because in that year of waiting, I took scuba lessons."
Okay.
And I went from, you know, basic scuba to advanced scuba. I bought my own gear, and I started, you know, diving recreationally, going to, you know, different shipwrecks and different rock quarries.
Wow.
And then I get hired, and here I am riding with this, you know, real trooper, and out of the blue he says, "Do you scuba dive?" And I said, "Well, yes, I do." He goes, "You want to go scuba diving?" And I said, "You know, like go to a rock quarry?" He goes, "No, we're going to go look for guns." And I went, "What? Look for guns? Why would you look for guns?" And he goes, "Well, I'm on the state police dive team." And I about fell out of my chair. I went, "What? What's a dive team? He goes, well, there's some dive teams out there, and law enforcement guys, they look for guns, they look for bodies, they look for cars.
Yep.
And he says, so you're a scuba diver? I go, yes. He goes, what certification? I said, I'm an advanced diver. Do you have your own gear? I said, yes, sir. He goes, where is it? I said, up in Alexandria. He goes, can you get it by tomorrow? I said, yes, sir. As soon as I get off, I'm going to fly home and get my stuff. And so the next day I was in Stafford County, and we were at a pond, and someone had broken into a house and stole a bunch of handguns. And they were supposed to have been thrown in this pond. And there were two sheriff department divers from Stafford, and there was two state police divers. And so they told me what they were going to do. They gave me a tank, and they put me with this other state police diver named Wayne Elam, and they told me about this search pattern. And if I found something, to squeeze this diver's hand so many times, and that would communicate to him that I found something, and then I would put his hand on the guns, if that's what I found, and then he would take care of it from there. So him and I go down in this pond, total zero visibility. We're working this grid line that they had laid on the bottom, and after so many passes on this search pattern, I'll be darned, my hand hit a handgun.
Wow.
And I feel it over. I'm like, oh my God, it's a handgun. So I squeeze his hand so many times, and I take his hand, put it on top of the gun, and underwater, he's patting me on the back underwater. And he sets up a buoy, and then he brings me up to the surface, and we inflate our BCs, and he lets out a yell that Mike found a gun, and all these police officers, there were some detectives there, but the divers, everybody started yelling, way to go, way to go. And I'm sitting there going, wow, I found this gun. And I swam back to shore, and we were going to switch tanks and keep going,
right,
and look for some more. And I literally had one of these God moments where all of a sudden I knew what I was supposed to do with the rest of my life. Yeah. I had no idea until that moment.
Wow.
Because I always looked at it as, you know, I want to be a policeman, I want to be a diver. I never thought you could put the two together.
Yeah.
And I had one of these moments, and I said, I'm supposed to be a state police diver. And wow, that's what I'm supposed to do for the rest of my life.
A storied career. Now, you and I were joking about it, but I'm telling you the truth. When the colonel was talking about mm-hmm. you, just laudatory, glowing sorts of things. Other members of the Virginia State Police who know exactly what you've done mm-hmm. throughout the years, what you're doing now, they speak of you in glowing terms. But on a career advancement path, you've sacrificed,
oh, yeah,
right? You've sacrificed lieutenant or captain, yeah, or whatever, yeah, was going to be in your future.
Right.
Nothing wrong at all with first sergeant. It's a pretty amazing situation that you're in. You're doing what you love. But people need to understand that. You have literally sacrificed, yeah, promotional opportunities, increased salary, benefits,
absolutely,
the whole thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I meant it when I said, you know, I know what I'm supposed to do for the rest of my life. And when I came on, they did have a sergeant that worked at the academy that kind of oversaw it. So they had a sergeant position. And so when I became a sergeant, I went to the academy.
Right.
And they told me, you can stay on the dive team because we have this sergeant's position at the academy. You can do that position and you can go on missions. And so I took that position. And for the first time, you had a sergeant going out on missions. And then when I did take the first sergeant's test, and I was the only one left in the band, and I was turning down all these first sergeant slots, and then the colonel back then was a colonel named Massengill, and he found out I was turning down all these promotions, and I said, he called me up and he says, what are you doing turning down all these promotions? I said, well, I'm on a mission from God. I know you're not going to understand this, but I'm going to stay on the dive team for the rest of my career, and it's going to influence and alter my career. Wow. And he said, well, if you find a quiet area, I'll leave you on the dive team, and you could become a first sergeant.
Okay.
I said, are you serious? And he said, yeah. So the quiet area turned out to be Emporia. So I went to Emporia as a first sergeant on the dive team, and I was able, because it was so quiet and I had two buck sergeants that could run the show and an unbelievable secretary, I could be gone a lot of times, and it just kept running, and it was a blessing. And then I was getting worried because, you know, I was getting older, and, you know, I was ready to get out of Emporia, and I wish I could come back to Richmond. And then they did a study on search and rescue in the Commonwealth, and the General Assembly and the governor ended up passing this big plan that they came out with, land search and rescue. And one of them was to give the state police a first sergeant's position for search and rescue, which is land search and rescue, which I also do. My team also does that. So the search and recovery team does swift water rescue for floods. We do land search and rescues for lost people in the woods and kids and Alzheimer's patient. We also do any kind of vertical rescue, and we're also all advanced medically trained. And so we have this pretty crazy thing going called the search and recovery team, and we even have our own rescue state rescue squad within the state police, which is unheard of, you know, in the country. And so they created this new full-time first sergeant position, which moved me back to Richmond full-time, no longer working the road, because my whole career, that was about at 35 years of service. I was a trooper diver, so I was a trooper for 12 years. Then I was an academy sergeant for 10 years, but I was an academy sergeant diver. Mm-hmm. Then I got promoted to first sergeant, and I was a first sergeant for 12 years, first sergeant running an area diver. So I was juggling all these balls, and for the first time, I was focusing on nothing but the team, and what a blessing that was. So I no longer had to supervise troopers and things like that. I could just focus on the profession. And so I was able to even take it to other levels, which has been a big blessing.
Wow. Well, I thank you for what you do each and every day. The members of your team, just amazing folks. And it's the reason that Colonel Settle reached out and said, you are absolutely the person we need for this.
I'm happy to hear that.
Yes, sir.
him and I go way back.
Lieutenant Jam, Eterna Blue Friday honor. Well, I want to tell you a little bit about some of the gifts you're going to get.
Okay, great.
None of it's going to get you closer to retirement, but from the sounds of it, doesn't make any difference because you've got no intentions of pulling the pin anyway. So that's okay. We've got a number of lovely things. My friend, Pastor Steve Boots over at Mount Victory Baptist Church, makes these beautiful thin blue line flags. He's also the lead police chaplain for the Henrico County Police Division. Wow. You're going to get one of those. My friend Tony Brewster puts on an entire golf tournament. He put it together and raises money strictly for this. So you've got $200 in gift cards from Tony and the gang. You've got an official Jeff Katz Show challenge coin, and only the winners of our honor get that. My friend Mike McTernan, who owns and operates Prince George Towing, he's one of Jan's sons, and he paid for all of those to be made. A little envelope here that Jamie Walter, Mike Walter's wife, and his children put together. There's some gifts in there, and really a very, very heartfelt letter that will certainly touch you. There's some Jeff Katz Show swag, and I'm hoping that will go to good use. And then one of the things that is very, very near and dear to my heart, there's a young lady in Midlothian by the name of Emily Morrissey. And Emily has CP and a number of other special challenges. And through her years in school, she, her family, her teachers realized she has an amazing talent for working with beads.
Wow.
So her family set up a business called emilysbracelets.com, and I wear my thin blue line bracelet every day. And
excellent.
You'll have the opportunity to do that.
Well, I certainly appreciate, and I certainly appreciate the invite, and what an honor it is to come here on your show and have a chance to share something I love.
Well, we are all the better for having you here.
Thank you.
You take that to the bank. That is First Sergeant Mike Berry from the Virginia State Police. He is our August recipient, the Lieutenant Jam McTernan Blue Friday honor. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:51. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday. Yeah, we have made it. Absolutely. Congratulations. Self high fives all the way around. And congratulations again to First Sergeant Mike Berry of the Virginia State Police. I did say to the colonel that it wasn't just going to be a blue Friday today. It was going to be a blue and gray Friday. It was such an amazing adventure. I mean, it's a wonderful career, but the word adventure, I'm using that for a specific reason. What he has been able to do and the people he's had on his team and the contributions to the entire Commonwealth, man, it's just incredible. And the sergeant, I'm going to call him Mike. Mike was such an easy guy to chat with. He was so, he's funny. He's a very committed man of faith and a good guy. You know, every once in a while you say, well, that guy, he's a good guy. Sadly, every once in a while I go, that guy, not a good guy. But this guy, good guy. And so he and I just sat and chatted the better part of an hour. And it was all suitable. Jeremy did a great job, I think, of slicing and dicing and making it possible for us to air it here. But you're going to want to listen to the rest of it. And it's easy enough. NewsRadioWRBA.com. You'll go there. You'll find it posted. And I think you'll enjoy it. And two disparate groups could really take something from it. Obviously, law enforcement officers in Central Virginia, I know, listen on the final Friday of the month, especially because it's a Lieutenant Jan McTurnan Blue Friday honor. And how many folks either worked for Jan McTurnan, worked with Jan McTurnan, or have simply heard the legend of Jan McTurnan? There's quite a few. And then you've got the diving component here. You need to listen to it. Again, newsradiowrva.com. Like everybody else in the United States, anyway, I will be off on Monday, not to worry. But I do want to let you know I'm also off Tuesday and Wednesday. I've got an event, some stuff I have to take care of. It's out of town. And so I will, God willing, be back on Thursday. I'm not exactly sure what John's doing. I'm not sure if he's still out there kissing babies and shaking hands or not. But we'll be back to our regularly scheduled operations relatively quickly. I have to share with you more from this gigantic bowl of word salad that the vice president and the dude who wants to replace her presented to all of America last night on CNN. How well rehearsed do you think this is? How many times did they do some run-throughs? How many times did they spitball this and review what the script is meant? And it was awful. Vague and vacuous. Not me. Whoa, not me. A member of that vast right-wing conspiracy. That's the New York Times. It's like being in a Broadway show, and you know, you're going through the paper. You go, okay, we're going to be closing tomorrow. Go get your stuff out of the dressing room because it's not going to be there tomorrow. Take a listen to cut number two, please.
Do you still want to ban fracking?
No, and I made that clear on the debate stage in 2020 that I would not ban fracking. As vice president, I did not ban fracking. As president, I will not ban fracking.
In 2019, I believe, in a town hall, you said you were asked, would you commit to implementing a federal ban on fracking on your first day in office? And you said, there's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. So, yes. So it changed in that campaign?
In 2020, I made very clear where I stand. We are in 2024, and I've not changed that position, nor will I going forward. I kept my word, and I will keep my word.
Which word? I can't even figure out which word at this point. I kept my word. Now, that was 2019. All right, so there's numbers involved. And then in 2020. No, ma'am, listen. You said that your beliefs are the same as they've always been. That is actually the one honest thing that you said. You are today what you've always been, which is an absolutely insane left-wing California progressive. That's who you are. I would say that's okay. I mean, we disagree on everything. But it's still okay to believe what you believe. I just don't want you doing it to me. I don't want you doing it to my country. I don't want you destroying opportunities for my children. Okay? I will, with every iota of strength I have, I'll defend your right to speak freely. Make no mistake of that. I will defend your right to believe what you believe, even though I know it's wrong. What I'm not going to do is just go along to get along and say, well, you know, I ain't going to do it. No. My friends, we do have a country to save. Dr. Dave Brandt will be with us at 4:03. I know the good doctor's got a thing or two to say about CNN sitcom last night. It is 3:56. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.